name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Church has chosen today to bless candles. The significance of the candle is great when we see how much it is used in the sacred liturgy. At baptism, the candle is given to the godfather, or to the baptized person if he be an adult, and the priest says, "Receive this burning light, and keep thy baptism so as to be without blame. Observe the commandments of God, that when our Lord shall come to his nuptials, thou mayest meet him together with saints in the heavenly court, and live for ever and ever." On Holy Saturday, the Paschal candle is an image of the resurrected Christ. At the churching of women, the woman holds a lighted candle in her hand as a symbol of her virtues. When seminarians are to be ordained, they present themselves with a lighted candle, indicative of their virtue, their purity of life. When young girls are to be received into the convent, they come with a lighted candle. In the rite of excommunication, the candles are taken into the sanctuary, where they are turned over and dashed on the ground as a sign of the extinction of the light of grace in the soul of the excommunicate. We have in the Gospel the parable of the foolish virgins who slept while their candles burned as they were awaiting the return of the bridegroom, and who could not enter into the wedding because their candles were not lit and they had no oil. The Holy Ghost came in tongues of fire. This symbol he chose to be the representative of himself. And we pray to the Holy Ghost, "Come, Holy Ghost, fill the hearts of thy faithful and enkindle in them the fire of thy love." And the color of the Holy Ghost is red, the color of fire, the color of warmth, of the love of God, which is infused in us by the Holy Ghost. And it is furthermore a custom to keep blessed candles burning at the bedside of a dying person as both a prayer for and a symbol of their perseverance in grace right till the end. Now, the candle itself symbolizes by its beeswax the virginal sacred humanity of Christ. The very reason why the Church insists on beeswax is because the bees are chaste. The bees who form the wax are chaste bees. And therefore, the beeswax is a suitable representation of the sacred, pure, chaste humanity of Christ. And the fire represents his divinity. And by comparison, the candle has another significance. The beeswax represents the purity of our bodies, and the fire represents the state of sanctifying grace. So when the priest hands you the candle when you're baptized, he is saying to you, "Now the life of Christ is in you. You are a member of the mystical body. You are another Christ. And the fire of this candle is representative of the light of grace in you." keep this grace until the day you die. That is the message of the church. The candle, therefore, is both a symbol of Christ and a symbol of our perseverance in the state of sanctifying grace. So your holding of the candles today should be a remembrance of your holding of the candle at your baptism through your Godfather. That candle of perseverance in the state of grace that is given to you at your baptism. The perseverance in virtue, the avoidance of mortal sin. Now, the most important thing in our lives is to persevere in the state of sanctifying grace, because sanctifying grace is the life of the soul. It is the principle of those actions by which the soul attains that which makes it happy. By analogy to the body, the soul is what animates the body. It gives the body life so that the body can carry on the activities which keeps the body healthy and strong. The activities of eating, drinking, exercise, working. So, as the soul is the life of the body, so the soul needs its own life, needs something to sustain it. And because the soul is made for God, the soul, when it is called to a supernatural state by God, as we are, needs the life of God. Otherwise, when it falls into mortal sin, the soul becomes condemned to merely being the principle of the life of the body. And all of its goals are oriented to the body's goals. And the soul becomes chained to the desires of the body, its pleasures, its pastimes, the material things that the body needs and enjoys. And the soul, being made for God, becomes bored and even disgusted with those things. The soul is a spirit and wants to see God, wants to know the truth and to embrace that which is good and love it. These are the things that give the soul life, and God, being subsistent truth and perfect good, is the life of our soul. And when the soul is in mortal sin, therefore, it seeks in material things and pleasures some sort of satisfaction, a consolation, a substitute for this life of the soul which is grace, and seeks more and more pleasure, more and more material things, until finally it falls into a despair about these things and ultimately goes to hell. There are some who spend nearly their whole lives in mortal sin. Yet foolishly expect to go to heaven. Occasionally they come to confession and rid themselves of these sins, but in a few days they are back in the same sins and go for weeks, months, even years in the same sins. And yet foolishly they entertain the idea that they are going to heaven and will somehow avoid going to hell. But as you live, so shall you die. And as ye sow, so shall ye reap. And if you live a life of mortal sin, expect the wages of mortal sin, which is eternal damnation. And yet others go through their lives with baptismal innocence. This was most probably true of Saint Bernadette and of Saint Thomas Aquinas, because their confessors in both cases attested to the fact, after their deaths, that in their opinion, neither of them had ever committed a single mortal sin, and had retained the innocence of their baptism as babies right through to the day of their death. Like a precious treasure that was carried carefully right through to the end. And while this is amazing to us, and indeed is exceptional, in fact, it is the norm of the Christian life is to accept this great gift of God and to carry it with the utmost care right till the end of our lives, as if someone had given to you a great deal of money or precious jewels, you would guard them. So this life of God is something to be guarded at all costs, even at the cost of death. And we see in the life of Saint Maria Goretti, who preferred death to impurity, that she understood what baptismal innocence was. She understood the treasure that had been given to her at baptism. Children, therefore, should be reminded often of a devotion to their baptismal innocence. How great is the treasure in their souls, especially when they are approaching their teenage years, when they are going to be subject to the temptations of filth. This is when they need encouragement all the more to protect their baptismal innocence and not even think a thought of impurity, for even that sullies the soul and condemns it to the things of this life and ultimately to hell. And we should all understand that the state of our souls is the only thing to seriously worry about. All other things pass. No matter how enjoyable they should be, no matter how sad they should be, they all pass. They all go away. The only significant and real thing to worry about in this life is the state of our souls. What is right now the state of my soul? Am I in the state of sanctifying grace, or am I in the state of mortal sin? In the Gospel of today's Mass, we have a beautiful image, and it is in Simeon, the old man of the Old Testament. He is old and decrepit. He is beyond his years. And from the Gospel we infer that he is on borrowed time, for the Holy Ghost said that he would live until he saw the Christ child, and then he would die. And he comes to the temple in his age and weakness as a symbol of the Old Testament that is full of age which is old and which has no life to give, but which lives only to receive Christ. And this aged Simeon had a holy desire to see Christ. How much and how fervently he must have prayed to live to see the Christ of God. For the Holy Ghost rewarded him with that revelation to him that he would not die until he saw him. And moved by the Holy Ghost, he goes to the temple. And there, in his aged arms, his arms that are full of death, he takes the Christ child, who is life itself, eternal life, life that will rise from the tomb victorious over death, for death will have no dominion over him, takes him and presses him to his chest, full of joy, the joy that is the flower of the bud of desire. And he says, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. This is the response of the Old Testament to Christ. This is how the whole Jewish nation should have received Christ. With joy, a fulfillment of 4,000 years of expectation. The fulfillment of the promise to Abraham to multiply his offspring like the stars of heaven. This will happen by this child, who by the Holy Catholic Church will bring all of the peoples of the earth, many hundreds of millions of them, perhaps before the end of the world, billions of people to God. And it is by this child. And Simeon, the Old Testament, receives him with joy. Unfortunately, the Jewish nation will not receive him like Simeon, but will reject him and crucify him. We should see in this holy incident in the temple an image of Holy Communion. We too, full of death, go to our Lord Jesus Christ, who is full of life. We are full of death by our sins, and it is only by the mercy of God that we are relieved of them. We are full of death because by our sins we have the sentence of death upon us, and it is only by the mercy of God, by the waters of baptism, that the sentence of eternal life has been given to us in its stead. But by our own merits and by what we deserve, we are full of death. And we should receive our Lord Jesus Christ with the same holy desire and joy with which Simeon received him into his arms. Simeon had that joy because he had such a fervent desire. And where desire is strong, joy is perfect. The special sacramental grace of the Holy Eucharist is the sustenance of the spiritual life. And when the Church is handing us the candle into our hands of the perseverance in the state of grace, the same candle that she handed to you when you were a baby, it is time to renew our devotion to the Holy Eucharist, which is our sustenance, the source of our perseverance in the spiritual life. If, therefore, you are in the state of grace, ask for the grace of perseverance in that state. And if you are in the state of mortal sin, Ask for the grace of contrition, for penance is a second innocence. And it often happens that the state of grace regained after contrition and confession, after mortal sin, is more fervent than if there had never been a sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.